Hey there. I offer this podcast freely. Your support really makes a difference. To make a donation, visit reneemckenna.com. Welcome to Spiritual Psychology. My name is Renee Lavallee McKenna, and I bring my 30-plus years as a recovering addict and ex-crazy person turned therapist and shamanic healer to bring you snackable teachings on spirituality, psychology, and all things personal growth. And today I want to talk about getting a bigger God. And I was working with a client this week who's actually a very spiritual person, and she's actively engaged in expanding her spiritual life. She does spiritual psychology work with me. She found a lovely church community that she really enjoys, and she's been working the 12 steps in a couple different 12-step fellowships. And almost all great traditions and practices encourage us to let go, surrender, align ourselves with God's will, however that might be named. And certainly the word God is problematic for many people, so finding wording and conceptualization that's helpful for us is really important because words are powerful. Words are ways that we conceptualize things, and the words point to these ideas or concepts. The words are not the concepts, but it's important to have accurate, comfortable words that feel aligned with our own experience and belief structure. So throw the word God out if it doesn't work. I prefer goddess, divine mind, life force, universe, and all these words point to the wisdom, intelligence, and creativity of the cosmic consciousness system that we're a part of. So if the word God brings up the idea of some grumpy old man sitting on a cloud, handing out rewards and punishments depending on his mood, throw that concept out the window. It may be time to get a bigger God. And this client is in a very unhappy work circumstance. She's been with the company for a long time and is in this middle management position, sandwiched between bosses and people she manages that are just problematic relationships all the way around. And she's applying for different positions within the company and doesn't really want to leave altogether because she's been there long enough that pretty soon she'll be eligible for retirement that includes a good healthcare package. But on a daily basis, the work circumstances are super difficult and strained, and she feels underappreciated, overstressed, and general job satisfaction is in the toilet. And she's been working with this idea of God's will and the question of what is God's will for me? And the third step in the 12-step paradigm is the practice or idea of turning our will and our life over to the care of God as we understand God. And my own experience with surrender or alignment has ranged from resistance or even fear through confusion to joy and relief. And it's a pretty intense and challenging concept for the ego to think about surrendering itself. I know it has always brought me right up to my own trust issues and brings me right face to face with my deeper, often unconscious conceptions of a higher power. It might be all fine and good to talk about God is love
until you're faced with some kind of human suffering,
death, loss, dysfunction that our little limited ego brains can't find a decent solution for. Now, the good news from my perspective is that that is when infinite wisdom, the creativity of the goddess, the intelligence of universal mind can be most helpful, because generally the solutions to my life problems have almost always been things I couldn't have imagined myself. Now, that doesn't mean that none of my plans ever worked out, but how they work out, the new job that shows up, the healing in my body, the new circumstances that I find myself in or relationships, those often just organically grow or present themselves, not infrequently when I'm looking in a different direction. And coming to believe that God or higher consciousness really does have our best interest in mind is very challenging to most of us, which is why I think most of the major valid spiritual and religious pathways encourage us to surrender, to align, to let go and relax, to go with the flow, to let go of our own will and ideas. Because my own view on my own life is super limited. I limit what's possible, often by my past experience, which keeps me closed-minded and often unable to see or even recognize the true solutions to my problems. When I was actively drinking and doing a lot of coke, I really believed it was about just managing and finding the right combination of vodka, beer, cocaine, and emotionally unavailable men. If I could just get that algorithm right, I'd be okay. The idea of getting clean and sober and stepping out of that dynamic completely was unimaginable for me. And that was the actual solution. My will for myself was to try to manage in the ways that I had always managed my life, which weren't great. And that does point to the idea of being willing to release those ideas that I have for myself. I thought I had to stay married, that getting divorced would be the worst thing for everyone, even though I had become desperately unhappy. And when I finally became willing to let go of my own ideas, things fell into place in ways I could not have orchestrated or imagined. In fact, on paper, it looked pretty messy there for a few minutes. But ultimately, in my observation, everyone, my ex, myself, even my children, are doing better, maybe even thriving from that experience. Just like when I was out ordering my fourth drink with my girlfriends, scanning the bar for some cute guy to hook up with, I couldn't imagine not having that as a part of my life. And although I had a lot of fun as a party girl, it eventually became a dead end, a drain, an incredibly limiting dysfunctional pattern. But I often need to be open-minded to the idea that there are solutions I can't imagine and willing to try them out in order to have a different experience. And this is what my client is confronted with right now. She's applied for these different positions and it doesn't seem to be working. They're having to have all of these excruciating meetings with human resources to try to navigate all these work style and personality difficulties that all just kind of feel like sandpaper on your skin. And her question was, so is this God's will for me to just stay here and learn from these experiences? Because I'm trying to move things along and it doesn't seem to have any motion. And feeling stuck is a really good clue that we are exerting our own will in a direction that's not productive. Because if there's one thing happening throughout the whole cosmic system, it is movement and change. Everything from the subatomic or cellular, environmental or planetary level is in motion. There is actually nothing static ever on the micro or the macro on this plane of existence. In fact, one of the main things that we do as humans is try to freeze frame things. Stop the motion. We want this moment to continue. We don't want this thing to end. We want to control what's going to happen. Good luck with that. But that's not to say that we don't have any input. One of my introductions to spiritual connection with higher consciousness was through the classic book, Conversations with God, by Neil Donald Walsh. He actually wrote a whole Conversations with God series, but the very first book is a classic. And this idea that we're co-creating our experience here, that what we want, believe, and desire, our will, is our free will. And we have a lot of agency here. And the manifestation movement, the idea of manifesting our own reality or creating our life circumstances, and there's tons of information about that and different practices around that everywhere, points to that idea as well. And I like the idea that there's what I want from life and there's what life wants from me, and where they meet is my life experience. I've had a lot of success in making plans, intentioning, visioning, expanding my goals and dreams for myself, opening up what I believe is possible, where I'm willing to go. There's principles of inertia and movement in physics that it's easier to keep something in motion that's already in motion than to get something moving. Envisioning work, having hopes and dreams and plans, and taking positive constructive action toward those, that gets us in motion. Now, we may not end up where we think we want to go, and that's where being open-minded and holding our plans loosely
being willing to go with the flow so that God and the goddess can take us perhaps to our highest good, which may be better than what we could have imagined for ourselves. And so we came to the question of, what is God's will? Is it to be aligned with things that bring joy and fulfillment? Or is it to stay in difficulty and suffering so that I learn stuff? And although conceptually my client would say, door number one, God is love, she's stuck in the door number two of suffering and can't actually see that there may be doors 3 through 20 that she can't imagine. And one of the things that we do in spiritual psychology work is to make a conscious connection with Source or the divine or higher consciousness in whatever way it makes itself known to us. And my client connects with the energy of a great elephant as a spirit guide and with the energy of Jesus. And so I had her call them in and just feel their presence. And they have no agenda for her. But when I had her ask them, should I stay here and learn things in this excruciating job? Or do you want me to be happy and fulfilled? Jesus actually turned her in a different direction and said, perhaps you should work with old people, which is not the work she's doing now. And she loves old people, but that's again a doorway that she can't really imagine. Now, my experience is if we follow these inspirations, these intuitions, these spiritual directions, the universe will figure out the details, as long as I'm willing to align myself and move in different directions. But I do have my own will. And if I want to keep suffering, I am free to do that. And tragically, many of us believe that God's will for us is to suffer. And much of the growth and maturity for many of us is to come to see that much of the suffering in our world and in human experience is human created. And I often talk about suffering and joy as a compass that we get here. That suffering lets us know that we're going the wrong direction, and joy and fulfillment are road signs to lead us back into flow. Healing and change are always available to us, but we need to accept that everything is impermanent and that the dissolution, the ending, the death or dismemberment of structures is necessary for new growth, evolution, and even healing to happen. And this is a big leap for most of us. Again, that really requires us to let go of our limited beliefs, to open to a larger perspective and different understanding about what's happening here in a human life on a soul level. It is my observation, rather than even a belief, that there is some kind of a continuation after death, because I've worked with way too many dead people, evidence of past lives, and that evolution on the spiritual plane goes way beyond a single human life. That actually on a deeper level, there is no such thing as death, only an infinite cycle of creation and dissolution. And we can look at the natural world to show us that on every level, that water molecules are billions of years old and just keep reforming themselves again and again. Rain, ocean, into the fish, into the animal, back into the earth, back up into the atmosphere, freezing into ice, flowing down as a river, back as snow, into my body through a cup of tea, and back out again. And although it's challenging, I think it is our work to grow in trusting and aligning ourselves with that flowing system and our own participation in it. And so even though Jesus was pointing my client in a different direction, and this was really confronting actually her deeper unconscious beliefs about God. And whether we're aware of it or not, the way our caregivers treat us as young children can be central to our conceptualization of the larger system, because our caregivers are God to us as young children. And so if we have caregivers who dismiss or don't meet our needs, we may project that out into the larger world because that's our experience and believe that the universe will not meet our needs. If we're punished for making mistakes, we may believe in a punishing God. If we're accepted and loved and supported, then the idea of a loving, supportive higher power makes more sense. So it's interesting to consider our spiritual perspective. If we're atheist and believe that there is no help available, if we might believe in a neutral, uninvolved God that's detached and unconcerned with our individual lives, we may conceptualize a God that punishes our mistakes and does not reward or offer help. Or do we believe in an accepting, loving higher power that accepts our imperfections and human failures and has unconditional love for us anyway? And it's not a shock that my client was uncared for and unsupported by her parents in many ways, but she has been an excellent mother to her own now young adult child. And so we looked at her care for her daughter, Kara, and I offered her those two options. If Kara was in this job position, would you want her to stay and learn things? Or would you want her to follow her own happiness and peace? And she said, oh, absolutely, I would want Kara to do what makes her shine. And so do you think that your human love for your daughter is superior to the unconditional love of God? Wouldn't it make sense that that which created you would have infinitely more resources than yourself as a human? But look at how much you love your daughter and what you want for her. And is it possible that the universe wants at least that much for you? And this is the challenge for most of us, to turn the love and good wishes we have for others into hope that we have for ourselves. And I know over and over again for me, it has challenged me to get a bigger God. Get rid of that crappy little God, that grumpy, punitive, judgmental, fearful little old man, and expand to receive more of the wisdom, power, brilliance, and incredible love that's available to us all. Thank you so much for listening. If you like this podcast, please subscribe or leave a good review. Share it with a friend. Check out my new YouTube channel. I'm doing lots of awesome collaborations on there. And plans are underway to create a spiritual psychology community, a place to connect directly with me and other like-minded beings. And I'm excited to do workshops and teachings and live interactive events, hopefully in the not too far future. And I'll keep you posted on that. You can join me on Insight Timer this Wednesday, March 13th, 2024. For a free workshop on healing trauma, really potent piece of work. There's a link in the show notes to my Insight Timer profile. That's at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, this Wednesday. Thanks as always to my generous supporters on Patreon and through this podcast. Blessings on your path until we meet again. This is Renee LaValle McKenna for Spiritual Psychology.